Let's pray. God, in this short time, help us to draw attention to you. I thank you, Lord, that you are the authority. I thank you that because of that, you not only created us, you protect us, you provide for us. And Lord, in all seriousness, at some point, Lord, we will stand before you and give account for our lives. And because of those things, God, I pray that we would get right the reality that you are God, and we need to let you be God. We need to choose for you to be God in our life and let your guidance and protection be true of us. Guide this time now, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. I want to, if you have your Bibles, I'd open up to Romans chapter 13. I'm going to read for you the chapter. It's not really actually that long. I'd love you to see it while I'm speaking it. And it says this: every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause for fear, for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is in a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger of those who bring wrath on the one who practices evil. Therefore, it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Render to all what is due them, tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there's any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Do this, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to wake from your sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than we believed. The night is almost gone. The day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly, as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regards to his lusts. That's a powerful chapter, and it's a lot to take in. I have given you this to try to keep up with me. I've tried to not make too many fill-in-the-blanks, but I think they're ones that can help highlight, and you can trust that as my guys in the back keep up with me, you'll always have the answers. Okay, I will not leave you behind. All right, I want to add one story to the ones that they told up here. When I started out as a youth pastor the first year, I was really gung-ho. I was excited. And I planned a mission trip, and I started working on it a long time out, okay? And it was with a group called New Tribes Mission. It was a place called Papua New Guinea. It is one of the most extreme, remote parts of our world. Didn't bother me. Thought it was a great idea. Thought, my kids, they're pretty solid. No big deal. I even told them, I think we can probably take up to 40. So, had no idea what it would ultimately cost. The reality is you can get malaria in Papua New Guinea. I had a friend who'd had it, and it's really not pretty. I just happened to mention to the elders, and they talked about it. And they came back to me and said, you're not doing that mission trip. And I was like, are you serious? Did I ask? No. I did ask. I was offended. I was upset. I thought, seriously? Just like Brandon mentioned, I want to go to summer camp. Like, what could be wrong with that? Well, you know what? After I got over it and I had to call and tell them all those slots I booked out and others couldn't take, I can't bring any. That was humbling. It was a little hard. But after about 2 months, I stepped back and said, what was I thinking? Seriously. Oh my, that's crazy. If I had done that, that would have been a disaster, actually. It would have really, it would have been bad. I'm serious. I mean, on all practical levels. And I said, thank you, Lord, for giving me an authority that's smarter than me. And thank you that you gave me grace to hear a no. And this is what I want. I hope you hear from God. Authorities really are your best friend. And there are bad authorities. And God's bigger than the authority. Matter of fact, it is scary to think that God doesn't really care if your parents are even right. That's not the big deal. He is going to use, even when they're wrong, to your good. There's only one way to grow, and that is when things are harder, or, you know, to be persevering means you have to be in something that it takes. It's not easy. And God is trying to develop you in faith and in character. So these are the things that I want you to understand from this chapter. Truths about authority. God has established all authorities that exist by the wisdom of his ways. He doesn't mean by that, we all can point to, there are governments that have been extremely bad. Nazi Germany comes to mind. God's saying, I established authority, and every entity that's in that place, I have designed that place. But even with his own children, he let them get taken in captivity to places where they were slaves, they were mistreated, they were killed. And God doesn't go, well, yeah, I like them too. It's like, no, I use that structure, and actually, I want to shine and show my power in that place. And God is not tied to this place. And actually, he says, you know, I really want you with me in eternity. And I know we fight that quite a bit. But in reality, God says, I'm not worried about authorities always making it easy for you, because whatever you face, I can meet you there. It's it's the structure he's designed for order, for lawfulness, for justice, for safety. If you think about even what goes on in our country, when things go down and there are riots, you are glad when authorities come in and go, we're going to stop this here. My freshman year at Hernan High School, as this scared little kid who had been at 8 years in a private school, 300 total in the whole school, I go to this big Hernan High School, which was overpopulated with about 2,500 that year. There was a race riot the day, it was shortly into my freshman year, and it was the only day I ever took a field trip. Now, I really think God has a sense of humor. He totally protected me, but there were some gangs from D.C., and it's a long story, but they came in with knives, and they came in with chains, and they set loose on the high school. That's crazy. But I was so glad when I came back, there were police cars all over the place, and it wasn't even lunch, you know, it was like middle of the day, it wasn't end of the day, and we're like, whoa, what did we miss? Authorities are there to make order come back, to provide safety, to go, this is right, this is wrong, we're not having that happen. Secondly, when we resist, reject an authority, we are resisting, rejecting God himself. If you wonder how your relationship with God is doing, look at your relationship with your parents. If you're telling your parents off, you're telling God off, because God put them there. It's not a matter of them being right all the time. It's a matter of, will you honor the one who put them there? How you handle teachers, how you handle coaches, how you handle the police, how you think or talk about the police. You are talking about someone, those that God has put there. Number three, authorities are designed to do two things. They are designed to praise those who do good. I looked it up. The highest medal that you can receive as an American is either the Congressional Gold Medal or the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Both of them acknowledge these are people of great character that we want to recognize. That is good. That's really good. The second role is to hold accountable or punish those who do wrong. There is built within us a sense of justice. When things go down and they're terribly wrong, we want someone to stand up and say, this is what's right. That person needs to be held accountable for what they did. And unfortunately, politics gets mixed in and junk like that. But you know what? We as believers should always be on the side of justice, no matter what it looks like, to say, I don't care what the details are. Is justice being served here in the right way? Okay, God is always interested in those who are wrongfully charged, mistreated, and God says, we need to champion and go around them. No matter what it is they live or stand for, we need to be the ones who go, that matters. You matter. God's simple exhortation, and it almost sounds funny, actually, if you hear it in the flow, do you want to be free from having to worry about police, authorities? Now, I know not all of you drive, but you know what, for me, when I drive sometimes, and when I look in the rearview mirror, and I see the police car profile, I do one thing every time. I hit the brakes. I'm like, I don't know what speed I'm going, but I want to go less right now because I don't want them to. Those lights. How many of you have ever had those lights go on behind you? Come on, be honest. Seriously. Okay, it happens. I had this happen. Listen to this. It was homecoming weekend. It was homecoming weekend. I went over to my friend Mark Russ's house with my little sister. It was like a mile around the corner. I'm coming back. I'm not thinking much. Driving my neat little Pinto. You've never heard of that, but you do. You know what it is. My Pinto with the radio going on was a marvelous car. Okay, it was cool. But here's the deal. I'm coming up. I lived on Hook Road. I came up over that hill. I was whatever, and I'm like, lights are going. And like, oh, no, not today. What was I doing? Come on. I wasn't trying to speed, you know. So this policeman pulls me over, and this is my first ticket, and I'm scared to death. I feel like, just lock me up. You know, I'm so sorry. I am a criminal. I get it. I'm so sorry. I'm bad. I'm so bad. And then I see my house and I see my dad and he's walking towards me and it was probably about 50 yards. And I'm sitting there thinking, is this bad for me? Oh, this is not good. And me and my dad were not real tight right then. He was tough. And I thought, this is not going to go well. He showed up and he surprised me. He went off on the police officer. And I was like, oh yeah, go Dad. Whoa, go. And he's saying, hey, you know what? On our street, they race every night, like at 11 o'clock. You can just hear them. And where are you then? You're here now picking on my kid who was probably 3 miles over. Are you serious? I'm like, you know, but it didn't change the fact that I got a ticket. But God says we need to look at governing authorities differently. And they need to hold accountable people who do things wrong. You know what they do? They've actually saved your life because they did pull over that drunk driver and they didn't hit you. 3 students died at Herndon High School this year, just a few months ago, because they were in Texas, no fault of theirs, really late. I was amazed at the things that they encountered on this one day. And they're like, let's just get there. And a drunk driver on the wrong side of the road plowed into them and they had no chance. The police are out there to try to get them off the road so you can drive and not die. And that's where we have to change the way we look at authority. We all feel that, ooh, it's me, I'm a criminal. You know, like, we don't like it. But he also then ends his statement by saying, if you want to be free from worrying about evil, it's really simple. Don't do anything wrong. Have you ever done something wrong? You're like, man, could I take that back? I would so like to not do that, but I did it. You know, and it is true. If we focus on living and following God, there's a lot of things we avoid by that very thing. And so he says, the only reason to ever fear authority is if I want to do evil. So yeah, if you're bent on doing evil, you should be afraid. Because the other makes another statement. He says, the authorities do not carry the sword in vain. They do it. They use it. It's real. Don't pretend like it's not real. Take it seriously. So if you want to be free from the fear of authorities, choose to do what is good. Number 4, we are to be in subjection to authorities because of 2 things, okay? The word subjection sounds really lousy, okay? Like I need to be in subjection. Okay? Actually, it's a Greek word. It means to line up under or line up behind. So for the military, they would set a formation and you would line up and say, okay, he's leading and we're following. You know what blows me away? It blows me away that in the military, they are trained to take authority so seriously, even when it directly contradicts all our natural instincts. I'm a student of history. I love studying the Civil War. It's a paradox. It's so hard watching us fight each other and all kinds of crazy junk and coincidences and whatnot. But I think of when in Gettysburg, Lee told his troops, you go up that hill. Most of them died. And they knew it. I think of the guys in World War II when they said, enough is enough. We're going to do this thing called D-Day, and we're going to massively leverage everything on this gamble. And they sent them up against the coast of France. And many of them knew, I am not going to live this day out. Why did they do it? Because they took authority seriously. They lined up under it and said, I'll follow it. Can we do that? Can we look at the one ahead of us and know he is sovereign, he is good, he wants my best? Can I stay under him, or do I want to be out here on my own? And I want to point out to you, when we're out here on our own, we are easy prey for Satan to mess with. And he does. And I see that way too often. We have a choice whether we're going to do that or not. So he says, we are to be in subjection, line up under authorities, to voluntarily submit myself to someone else's control because of wrath. Because there's a consequence I don't want. Number two, because of conscience. God has gifted us all with a conscience. Some of you in this room have probably seared your conscience, which means you don't feel it anymore. God said, you know, it's kind of like your check oil light. You know, do you ever freak out when that comes on? Do I shut it down now? Can I drive it a mile, or is it all over? Our conscience says, no, this is wrong. This is wrong. This is wrong. This is wrong. It was my conscience that brought me to the point to say, God, what do you want from me? I was in an immoral relationship, and my conscience was killing me. And so God said in this section, he says, you want to have a conscience that is not full of guilt and shame. God did not design you to live that way. Your body actually starts falling apart like a bad Chevy going over 90. It's not working. And if you keep going, God says it's like a branding iron. You will sear it to where it's not feeling anymore. You don't want to be that way. You want to feel. You know what I did one time, though? I remember intentionally thinking, God, I'm so thankful for my conscience because I know I won't get too near evil because I'll just always feel really bad. Do you know what? There are times when I wasn't feeling really bad. You can't count on it that way. You need to make it tender. You need to keep it tender. You need to motivate yourself to move with it and not live with guilt and shame. Number five, because it's God's design, he asks us to give him what is needed to pay for and recognize their role as a minister of God with which they fulfill for him. In other words, when we pay taxes, we should be thankful because it pays for the people who protect us, govern us, both here and abroad. But we owe them respect, we owe them honor. And God says, will you and I do that? Or will we just mock? Number six, authorities are there to apply God's will / the law. We are to focus on fulfilling the law by loving others as we love ourselves. Basically, God here is saying what Jesus did elsewhere. It says, if you want to really fulfill the law, it just comes down to this. If you love other people the way you want to be loved, it works out. You don't even have to know all the laws. Did you know you're accountable for laws you don't know? Did you know if you told the officer, I didn't know that, he won't go, okay, well, now you know. No, it's like ignorance of the law is not an excuse. Sorry. You can't spray paint on that building. I'm really sorry. Didn't know that. Tough for you. But what God's saying here is if you just focus on, I want to love people, check this out. How many people would commit adultery if they really loved their wives or the spouse of the person they're cheating with? They wouldn't. There would be no adultery. There'd be no murder. If you really love people, you get frustrated, you can get angry, you can maybe even yell at them a little bit, but you don't kill them. So if you love people, you're not going to commit murder. So he basically goes down that and he says, all the other things I said, don't kill anybody, don't steal from anybody, don't covet. If I love people, I'll be okay with them having stuff and I don't have to have it. So he says, if we choose to love, then we are actually realizing I can be an authority in my life. And that's where he actually takes us at the end. Number seven, God calls us to wake up, take him, take his authorities, take his will, take his return seriously. He's really calling us out. He's going, you know what? And this was a letter written to believers. He said, you need to wake up and realize you got to get serious about this, because this is harming the way you relate to God and the way you're living. And basically he's saying there, lay aside the deeds done in darkness. How many of your parents have made the statement, nothing good happens after midnight? Man, I need to inform your parents. That's a really good statement, actually. How many of you agree with that statement? Okay. There is something about, it's stupid, it's really stupid, things we do sometimes, but you know what, if it's dark, somehow, way down deep, we think God can't see it, right? I'm going to do this bad thing because the lights are off and it's night. God's going to totally pass by and won't even see me. And God's like, you're an idiot. No, I see you really well and that's not working. But here's what he says. He says, put away the deeds that we typically would do in the darkness, and he calls it out. I love the fact that when God talks about things, he isn't like massively vague. He says, carousing, your term may be partying. Drunkenness, pretty obvious. Sexual promiscuity, sensuality. God says, don't do that. That's what you do in the dark, thinking you can get away with it, thinking it's cool, and it will kill you and eat you up. Don't do it. I've told you, put that away. And then he adds strife and jealousy. Like, I thought that was okay. Like, a little strife here and there, you know, like arguing. Like, jealous. Like, is that a girl thing or what? But God doesn't say, yeah, no problem. He says, that is part of the darkness that we allow to creep in. And he says, put it away. Remove it from your life. And then he calls us to do two things. He says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you do that? How do you put on Jesus? You put on the Jesus smile, the Jesus walk, you know? No. This is how you do it. It's in contrast to the second thing. He says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and connected to another thought. So as you meditate on scripture, sometimes the definition is in context of where he's going. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Those two things have a context. When I put on the Lord Jesus Christ, I am doing this. Catch this. I am pursuing what he wants. I am taking on his authority to line up under it. I am taking on his love to live in it. I am taking on his grace to live by it. I am taking on his gospel to live for it. I take on the heart, passion, goal of what Christ is. And when I do that, that's going to set me in a direction. The second part, I want you to really think about this. This is one of the most practical verses in the Bible. Make no provision for the flesh. Okay? Little story. When we go on trips, my wife always asks me, would you like me to make a lunch? Or are you planning on buying a lunch? We have a disagreement. I like buying lunch. Peanut butter and jelly, it's okay. Had it before. We'll have it again. But Taco Bell? No. Chipotle? Yeah, right. Get real. Chipotle, all right? So when you do that, she's asking me a question. Do you want me to take provisions so we can travel without stopping? It's a wise woman that does that. That's why I married her. Do you know how we make provisions for the flesh? Listen to this. And this is where I want you to get real. We know where we're tempted. And there are times that we leave the door open for us to go there. And when we leave the door open to go there, we're making provision. We're allowing a sinful desire to have opportunity. You know, the remote on a TV can be a bad thing, because you can keep looking until you find what your heart's really looking for. Or the computer, same thing. We can ultimately land where we want to. Or I can be in a place where that guy is. You name it. When we make provision for the flesh, we're stupid, because we're going to cave into that. So God says, think ahead. Don't do that. Don't go there. Don't let that happen. Make no provision for the flesh. Do not feed it. Do not tolerate it. Do not encourage it in any way, or it will come back and bite you. Number nine, God wants you to truly be, and this might surprise you, God wants you to be the authority in your life. He wants you to be the authority in your life. By that, you need to be the one who calls yourself out when you seek for evil at any level. You're the one that needs to reward yourself and recognize that's the way I need to go. I'm doing the right thing. You need to be able to tell yourself no to what is wrong and yes to what is right. That is when I take authority and responsibility for me. But I find few people that are willing to do that. And God says, key point, how do you learn to do this? I learned to do it. Now catch this. This is really cool. I learned to have authority and responsibility in my life when I let God be the authority in my life. When I look at the authorities he's put over me and I say, okay, I can handle that. When I line up under their authority, it allows me to get my, I have the protection even. I'm going to get reminded. I'm going to be helped to be able to say no. Because you know what? In raising children, I hope you realize the wisdom of Proverbs that we do need to have punishment. We spanked our kids in love. We did not spank our kids in anger. We did not wail on them. There's actually some things that you need to know in terms of how to be a parent and how to do discipline right. But some of the most tender moments I've had with my children were when we restored in that process. It wasn't beat you, throw you in your room. We actually would sit down afterwards and talk with them, pray with them, hug them, love them, and to restore them. Because the goal of punishment at that point with children is to teach them to hear a no through me or Lisa. But ultimately, we were trying to say, I want to prepare you to hear the no from God. And if you hear the no from God, then you're going to need to be able to say no to yourself. Right now in this room, if you can't say no to yourself, you're out of control. You need to get under authority so that you can be an authority in your life. And that's why God says we need to deal with authority differently. God has delegated his authority and responsibility to human officers who desire to protect and provide for you, but ultimately we need to take on this role. We're pretty much out of time, so I'm going to just hit a couple things here with you real briefly. The big picture about authority is we have a sin nature and we want to do bad things. So it's not like dealing with authority is like, it's not in a vacuum. It's the reality that we are predisposed. We do not like authority and we don't want authority. So what I'm asking you to do is something that is not natural. You're going to have to ask for God's help. Secondly, Satan still tries to convince everyone to be their own authority and reject all other authorities. And that sounds actually kind of like, yeah, I want to be my own man. I want to do my own thing. You want to hear something really funny? We did a living example at a camp one time. We did a little test group. We didn't tell the kids. We actually played this game. And we said, we're playing ultimate basketball. And we got everybody out there and we said, okay, here's the deal. There are now no rules. There's no rules. Go play. And they're like, what do you mean? Like, there's no boundaries. The court can be whatever you want it to be. There's no fouls. This can be full out tackling. There's no rules, you know? And so we let it go for a little while. It got messy really fast. It was really bad. And I said, how fun was that? And they're like, oh, that stunk. That was terrible. Don't do that again. Like, what are you thinking? I'm like, well, you know what? That's what we all want, though, isn't it? We want a life without any rules. But it gets ugly and messy, and it's not a lot of fun. But Satan tries to convince you and me that, hey, that's the real way. And there's a term in the book of Judges, one of the very last verses in Judges, it says, and there was no king, there was no judge, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Does that sound a little bit like today? We're now having a culture that does what is right in their own eyes. They do not want to be told. They do not want any rules. That's a scary place to live, and that's where we're living in and living it out. God's wisdom, he established authority, and I want you to hear this. He has the right to be our authority. He is our creator. He's our provider. He's our protector. He is our judge. Those four things. And on that basis, he absolutely should be our authority. And I'd love for you to even think through those things. Secondly, he delegated authority and responsibility to earthly authorities to create order, peace, and security, home and abroad. even to the point, catch this, even to the point of capital punishment. God said, I am the only one who gives life. I am the only one that takes it away. I do give the right to government to stand in my place and say, you will not murder people. And actually, it works really well when it's done quickly. The Bible says when the punishment is not 30 years later, people start taking note. That's why in some Arab countries, there's not much thievery because there are a lot of people walking around with one hand. It was done pretty quickly. Like, don't take anything. They will cut your hand off. They might even gouge your eyes out. Don't be doing that, stealing stuff. God says he gives them authority. Lastly, authority applies to me in two ways. Will I take the authority and responsibility I have for myself? Parents were designed for you to be able to hear and respond to a no. Police are designed for those who can't. Secondly, and this is what I want you to hear. Can you take authority and responsibility for yourself? Number two, will you ever be able to be an authority yourself? Will I be able to be a good authority over others? The reality is, if you line up under authority, you will know how to be a good authority. Not so lenient like my friends in the 60s who are trying to raise kids now, and they had no taste for authority, so they're doing the same for their kids, and their kids are like, this is not working. Or those who were so hard, they're like, I had a tough life, so I'm going to bring this out. That's the way I'm going to go. Let's pray. With your eyes closed, I want you just to search your own heart right now and ask yourself this question. Have I made the personal conviction to bend my knee before the Lord? Am I allowing God to be God as he is? Will I let him be God? He says to us, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? Either stop calling me Lord or start doing what I say in response to me being God. Secondly, will you accept the role that God has given to delegated authorities? Will you get under your parents and other authorities because you believe it's what you should do and you trust God to use, work around that and make you who you need to be? Will you start being the authority in your life that you need to be? Father God, I ask that those who have ears to hear have heard you today and they'll realize authority is not a bad thing. It's actually what we absolutely need. God, I pray you give them wisdom to trust you even when authorities seem wrong, the faith to believe in you to bring about what you desire even through wrong actions by authorities. God, help us to commit to your authority to let you be God. Lord, guide us. Let us be the authority in our life that we actually should be. And God, I just pray your blessing upon everybody here. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you guys very much.